blessing. If you want to get up and shout, go ahead, all right? We won't get mad at you. All right, what a joy to look forward to that coming, you know. And till the trumpet sounds, we're going to be looking forward to that, that's for sure. What a joy it's been to have missionaries with us. We had Brother Sean Dunn with us on Friday. He was just able to be here then, gave us a report from the printing ministry that we've supported now for years, Victory Baptist Press, and thankful for what they're doing. And then we met these two missionaries that are with us today, and they usually have a presentation, you know, oftentimes a video presentation. And this morning, Brother Looney preached and taught this morning in Sunday school, did a good job, it's really good. And I was asking him about if he had a video presentation. He said no, so I decided he is the presentation, all right? So come ahead, Brother Looney.
Absolutely. Well, to tell you all a little bit about myself, I am number 11 of 12. I have 7 brothers and 4 sisters, 1 little brother. We grew up going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night Awana, Friday night RU, Saturday night Outreach, Tuesday night Ladies Sewing Meetings. Didn't have a choice in that one. But it wasn't until I was 13 years old that I realized that I needed to put my faith and trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of my sin. Just because I was a good kid who had memorized all kinds of verses and I could tell you John 3:16 on the Romans Road, just because I knew it all up here didn't mean I knew Jesus in my heart. So at 13 years old, I realized I needed to put my faith and trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins, and I called on the name of the Lord, and he promised he'd save me. He did, and folks. He did, and I know he did because, as I believe it was Charles Spurgeon who said, someone as big as God cannot come and live in your heart and a change not be made. And he changed me, but the change he made wasn't one that was a whole lot of outward appearance changes. It was on the inside. It became more than my parents drug me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday. It became something I looked forward to going to learning about how good my God is, to learning how much he loved me. But you see, I got saved at 13 years old, and 3.5 months later, I was standing at the foot of a missionary's grave. You see, this missionary, he was actually the one that God used to touch my heart and say, hey, you need to put your faith and trust in me. You see, this missionary, he meant a lot to me, because this missionary's name was Owen William Looney. He was my older brother. You see, Owen would tell a story of how he went to Nigeria, West Africa. He was going to be a missionary to Nigeria, actually. And he tells a story of how he was driving down the road, and it was a long drive, and he was counting telephone poles, and then all of a sudden they stopped. And he looked out the back window, and he could see the last power line. And he thought, man, we're really out there now. And they went way out into a village. And they stayed in that village for a week. And when it came time for them to leave, the chief of that village, actually, he grabbed the group together and he said, if you will leave just one of you, there was about 8 people in this group. He said, if you'll leave one person here to give us Jesus, I will give him my protection. I will give him a home. I will give him land on which to build a church. I will help him build that church if he will just give us Jesus. Owen said, Lord, if you'll let me come back, I will bring them Jesus. And he came back from the States. He was a different person than when he left. God got a hold of his heart, changed him. But you see, he was 3 weeks away from graduating Bible college. 3 weeks away from starting full-time deputation as a missionary to Nigeria, West Africa. Saturday evening, we got home actually from a missions trip. I'll never forget that missions trip because I almost drowned in the Bogachetta River. We came back from that missions trip. We got home, got our showers. Everybody's getting ready for bed. Mom comes into the bedroom. She knocks on the bedroom door, opens the door, says, hey, I just want to let y'all know we got a call from Brother Sonny. He was the pastor of the church my brother was going to up in northern Louisiana where he's going to Bible college. And he said that Brother Sonny was asking, where's Owen? Did he go home this evening? He's not here. It's about a 4-hour drive from point A to point B there. He said, did he go home? He's usually home by now. It's 9:30. He's usually home. We can't find him. Did he go there? Well, no, he's not here. Well, we'll keep looking for him. Well, Mom comes in, knocks on the door. It's 10:30 at night. She comes in, says, hey, I just want to let y'all know. Got a call from Brother Sonny. They found his stuff down by the lake. 11:30, we got a call. Mom knocked on the door. Just want to let y'all know they found Owen's body at the bottom of the lake. And we buried him the next Saturday. Well, as I stood at the foot of his grave on that Saturday, I remember asking God why. Which is a very reasonable question to ask at a funeral. I mean, your loved one is dead. Not only that, but Owen, you know, the Bible says over and over that there's silence in the grave. The dead cannot praise God's name. But there I stood at the foot of Owen's grave, and that's exactly what Owen was going to do. He was going to praise God's name. He was going to shout the gospel from mountaintops. He was going to go. His phrase was beyond the power lines, where there was literal darkness in this world. He was going to bring the light of Jesus Christ, but there he laid in a grave. They were asking God, why? Who's going to bring the light of Jesus to this dark world now? And as that question hung in the air, I turned my gaze toward heaven. I said, Lord, if you'll have me, here I am. Send me. And last time I checked, God wasn't turning down volunteers. Just a few weeks later, and like I said, Pastor, I don't believe in coincidences. Just a few weeks later, my dad gets a phone call from a traveling evangelist who's a very good friend of our family. You may have heard of Smite Camp over in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Well, this evangelist was the director of Smite Camp. His name's Jerry Pertell. Well, he not only did Smite Camp, but in the fall and winter and spring months, he would travel around fair to festival, preaching the gospel to folks who would otherwise never go to church. They'll go to a fair. They'll take a ticket, says, hey, come on, see this free creation show. Talks about how God created the world, destroyed a worldwide flood, explains where the fossils came from. You didn't come from a monkey. You were designed by God, and he's got a plan for your life. Let me tell you about it. Hey, he destroyed the world in a worldwide flood. One day soon, he's going to destroy it in a fire, and he spared a way. Just like he made a way for men to be spared in the day of Noah, he made a way for you to be spared from his wrath to come. Let me tell you about Jesus. And folks get the opportunity to put their faith and trust in Jesus at a fair and a festival of all places. Well, he called my dad, and I just happened to be standing behind my dad, and he says, David, my dad's name, David, I need some help. Can you spare one of your sons? Well, we were homeschooled, so we could do that. He turned around, looked at me, and said, Jens, do you want to travel with Brother Jerry? I said, yes. And for the next 4.5 years, I slept in my own bed maybe 6 months out of those 4.5 years. Because I traveled with Brother Jerry. I did my homeschooling on the road with him. And we went around preaching the gospel to folks who'd otherwise never have an opportunity to be saved. Folks who otherwise never go to church, they'll go to a fair. And we shared the gospel with them. 1 year, we actually preached the gospel. We tallied up the number of folks came on that trailer the year to hear the gospel. Over 15,000 people heard the gospel that year. How many 16-year-olds you know can say that? They preached the gospel over 15,000 people. They traveled to Jamaica to preach the gospel there. How many folks you know could say that? How many folks you know that at 18 years old, they could say, oh yeah, I've been traveling in the ministry for the last 6 years? I mean, how many folks you know can say at 24 years old, for half their life, they've been in ministry? Here's one. Because God opened doors and opened opportunities for me to be able to travel with an evangelist. But my favorite times traveling with that evangelist was when we was preaching. However, I loved that. I mean, my favorite day, he had to leave and go take care of a family emergency one Saturday morning. Left me at a fair, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. That's when a fair operates, right? Well, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., I preached the gospel every 20 minutes to a different group of people. It was wonderful all day, 12 hours, 11 a.m. to 11:20. One of the greatest days of my life. I loved it. But my favorite times with Brother Jerry weren't necessarily when we were preaching. It was when we'd load up the truck, and we'd be on the road sometimes 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 hours down the road. We'd be going point A to point B. And he'd say, what's today's date? First thing we get in the truck every morning, what's today's date? Oh, it's the 8th. Open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 8. And I could not read two verses before he'd stop and preach 20 minutes. We seldom finished a chapter of Proverbs a day, but I loved it. Because Brother Jerry was pouring into me the Word of God. Because he knew, hey, 2 Timothy 2:2 is true. The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who'll be able to teach others also. And that's what Brother Jerry was doing. He was committing to me the Word of God, the things which he'd heard, the things which he was taught, he was teaching me. So that one day, I might could be driving down the road in Indonesia with a couple of guys in the truck, say, hey, what's today's date? Open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 8 and begin to commit to them the same things that were committed to me and teach them the wonderful words of God. Because, folks, what's going to make a difference in Indonesia is not the words of Jens and it's not the words of Jerry, but it is the words of God. And that's what I hope to bring to Indonesia. That's all I have to bring to Indonesia, actually. I'm not real smart. My brothers and sisters have the IQs of geniuses, and I don't know what happened when it came to be my turn, but I don't have a whole lot else to bring to Indonesia. But I can preach. I can share the gospel. I can go and I can bring them Jesus. And maybe, just maybe God will do a difference in their hearts and minds. Would you pray that folks just like yourselves, churches just like this one, would take us on for support so we get to Indonesia sooner?
Amen. Pastor. All right, take your Bible to Luke chapter 6, if you will, this morning. Luke chapter 6. Our theme for the year is till the trumpet sounds. And till the trumpet sounds, keep on, keep on. There's too many people that have quit. There's too many Christians that have quit. I've known of preachers that quit. I've known a multitude of people. We don't stay with it, all right? Well, I listen, you say, well, preacher, times are getting tough. It doesn't matter. Till the trumpet sounds, keep on, keep on. And I've been trying to preach that theme ever since the beginning of the year. Different aspects of it, keep on trusting, all right? Keep on going and all of that. Well, if you've got half a brain and you know what missions is about and you've been around here very much, you can pick the word up there that we're going to preach on today, all right? We're going to preach on that. Till the trumpet sounds, keep on what?
Giving.
See, there you go. Keep on giving till the trumpet sounds. Look, if you will, Luke chapter 6, verse 38, the Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, I understand the context of this verse, and I understand sometimes people get accused taking it out of context, but I want to tell you straight out, I believe the Bible teaches God's people to be givers.
Amen.
To be givers all the way down the line. And there is no finer indication of the heart of a person than the record that he or she has in giving. In giving. I mean, there's just not. Nothing reveals what we value and what we treasure like those things that we spend our time and our money on. That shows where it is. Hey, we can say whatever we want to, but the Bible's true when it says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All right? And that's it. So it indicates the heart of a person, our giving record, all right? It really does. Now, wait a minute. Don't get so tense at the beginning that you miss the message, okay? I don't want to do that because through the years, there's probably been no subject that has excited, angered, or motivated folks to action like preaching on giving. I mean, I'm sorry, it's just not. Some people get excited when preached to about giving. They do. They get excited about it. I mean, it stirs them, and they get excited about giving. That's a good thing, all right? Some get angry. And really angry, really quick, when you preach on giving. Some are motivated by the messages on giving. But motivation can go two ways. Some are motivated to leave and say, preacher, I ain't coming back. All you ever do is preach on giving. My dad's initials was M.M. Mosley. And my dad enjoyed preaching on giving, and he was accused one time. Some guy said, I know what that M.M. stands for. It stands for more money, Mosley, all right? I just want to tell you something. I remember my dad preaching on giving. He didn't apologize for it. I don't apologize for preaching on giving. I do not apologize for it all wrong because I've said before, say it again, I preach on giving because giving brings the blessing of God. Giving brings the blessing of God like nothing else will do. And I want you to enjoy the blessing of God. I want you to have it. I'll be honest with you, I'm a little selfish. I want to enjoy the blessing of God too. And I want his blessing on my life. And not only does it bring God's blessing, but if you'll learn to give, it brings blessings from people. Notice there Luke 6:38, would you? The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, you know. But it does this. It says, shall men give unto your bosom. If you'll learn to give. If you will be a giver. And I'll tell you what. I learned to give years ago. I give you this illustration. You've heard it before, but I want to pound it home. When I was a kid, my brother and I were kids. As kids, we were given an allowance. Some people say, we never got that. No believe in giving an allowance. Do whatever you want to, all right? I'm glad my dad would give us an allowance because it taught us something about money. And it taught us something about money. Now, we had chores to do around the house, all right? We had chores to do. We took care of things. The house cleaning was our job. We took care of that. We took care of the yard work. We washed the dishes and griped about it eternally, all right? And still hate dishwashing, all right? But God, Dad gave us an allowance. And we were rolling in the dough as kids. That first time he gave us an allowance, 50 cents. 50 cents a week. Man, the money was pouring in. Just pouring in. And our dad taught us, he said, listen, you owe God the tithe off of that. And when I was making on a 50 cent a week allowance, I began to give a nickel. All right, I began to do it. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been tithing and I've been giving to God for many, many years. And I'm going to tell you something. I've enjoyed the blessing of God. I've enjoyed the blessing of God. Until the trumpet sounds, I'll keep on giving. Until the trumpet sounds, I want you to keep on giving. So let's talk about it a little bit this morning. Take your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, would you? 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Listen, I believe right here there's the ultimate key to giving. I really do. This is it. People say, well, I struggle with giving. Well, here's the key, all right? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Hey, listen, I've got 3 points in the message today. All 3 of those points, you could preach a multitude of sermons from any one of the points, all right? So you better listen good, all right? Because if I catch you messing around, we're going to be here a long time today, all right? Hey, the first thing I want you to see is you need to give yourself. You need to give yourself. The Bible tells us right here the Christian folks in Macedonia made a very conscious decision to give themselves to the Lord first. That's where it started. They gave themselves to God. Look, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your pocketbook. That ye present your wallet. No. That ye present your bodies. A living sacrifice. Hey, give yourself. Give yourself to God. I'll be honest with you. I think that's where it starts. You say, what's the key to giving? Everybody says, here's the secret. Well, it's no secret, all right? It's been in the Bible for a long time. But the key is you give yourself. You give yourself. You're just willing to say, Lord, here I am. I'll give myself to you. Now, we live in a day where we think, oh, that means I got to be a preacher. No. Nope, don't have to be a preacher. Well, an evangelist, like Brother Nope. Nope. No. Well, a missionary. No. It just means you say to the Lord, Lord, here I am. I'm yours. I'll do anything you want me to do. I got news for you. God's not going to call us all to go to the foreign mission field. God's not going to call us all to pastor. God's not going to call us all to be evangelists. But you hear me. God wants all of us. He wants every one of us to give ourselves to Him. Very simply, I believe it's this way, to give yourself to God is to give God the priority of your life. Say, I'm yours, Lord, in first place, and all my decisions, it's you. It's you. I'm not making any decision without consulting with you, without just running it by you. I want to check it out. When I was thinking about getting married, before I asked my wife, the lady is my wife now, but to marry me, I went to my dad and I said, Dad, I want to ask you, what do you think about Susie Worley? If I were to marry her, what do you think, wife? And he said, son, you got to be kidding. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that at all. He said, but you know, I wanted his opinion. Hey, look, I was dumb and ignorant, okay? I needed somebody who had some experience. Well, I got news for you. I've got more experience, but in a lot of ways, I'm still dumb and ignorant. And you are too. And boy, when it comes time to make a decision, we need to say, God, I need to know what I need to do. I want to be sure that what I'm doing is what you want me to do. You say, what to say? Every decision. Every decision. I mean, if it amounts to, now I don't guess you've got to ask him whether you have the beans and rice or the, you know, French fries at a store, okay, at a restaurant. But, I mean, look, if you're thinking about changing jobs, you're to consult the Lord. If you've got any consideration of moving from one place to another, you better pray. You better seek his direction. Anything down the line. Think about getting married. You better seek his direction. You better pray about it. I just want to tell you, if you're here and you've got any desire to be married and you're not married, but you want to be, you ought to be praying right now. But I don't even know. That's all right. You need to pray. You say, Lord, bring that person to me. You go looking and you'll pick the wrong one. But you let God do the picking. It'll work pretty good for you, all right? We just need to do it first place in your time. He ought to have first place. He ought to have first place in your finances, too. He ought to have first place in your finances. If we're going to do it, hey, give yourself first. Amen. Give yourself first. I want to ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. Don't even nod your head. Has there been a time in your life where you literally gave yourself to God? You said, Lord, here I am, I'm yours. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Has there ever been that time? Need to give yourself to him. If you'll do that, the next 2 points won't hurt you. The next 2 points won't hurt you. Because the next thing, see, if you give yourself, you need to learn to give the tithe. Take your Bible in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 27. Now, I'm not preaching on tithing today, but it is part of the giving, all right? So we're going to run by it. We won't belabor the point, but just a few things. I want you to see what the Bible says. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. The Bible says right here, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Now I know how you are. You're saying, thank God I ain't a farmer. All right, well, let's go ahead a little further, all right? Deuteronomy chapter 14, all right? Deuteronomy chapter 14. I want you to look one verse with me, all right? All right, here we go. The Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 14, would you look at verse 28? Verse 28, the Bible says, the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and lay it within thy gates. Lay it within thy gates. All the tithe of all your increase. All your increase. Okay, it belongs to the Lord. The tithe is the Lord's. It just belongs to him, all right? Now, that principle carries, I know how people are. Because I've read, I've heard. Right, that's the Old Testament. We don't live in the Old Testament. We don't live under that law. I just want to tell you, Abraham tithed before the law. Okay? He tithed before the law. So don't run that on me. And by the way, I believe the principle carries over the New Testament. Let's go to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. You said, I thought you said the New Testament. We'll get there. Just let us work at it a little bit, all right? Malachi chapter 3. Here's the verse. Man, I've heard this verse preached. It's been a blessing to me. I don't know how many times. So Malachi chapter 3, if you would, here's a verse we're familiar with. The Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. All right, you got that. Now, don't close this book on Malachi, but I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. You say, preacher, why are we going to so much scripture? Because I get tired of people that say, that's just your opinion, okay? I want you to notice, here's what the Bible says. Keep your place there in Malachi, but look in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Okay, we're in the New Testament, right? The Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. All right? First day of the week, that's today. It's Sunday. All right? Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. Here's what I want you to see. I told you the principle goes through from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And the Old Testament said you bring all the tithes into the storehouse. In the New Testament, it says upon the first day of the week, let every one of you. Notice what it says there, all right? Notice that proportion. It's proportional giving. Proportional giving. The tithe belongs to God, and you are to give it. And I say proportional, here's why, all right? Looking at this congregation today, everybody in here did not bring home the same paycheck on Friday. Now, some of you don't get paid on Friday. You get paid the first, you know, the 15th and the first and the 15th. I know there's a lot of ways. But the idea, everybody here doesn't make the same amount of money. We're not all paid the same amount. Some make better than others, okay? Some of you are on what that proverbial fixed income.
Amen.
Fixed income. Some of that fixed needs to be fixed, right? I just want to share this with you, all right? They're talking about raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Now, you folks here understand economics, I hope. You do understand if everybody's wage, nobody's making less than $15 an hour, you do understand everything else is going to go up in price, don't you? I mean, the dollar menu at McDonald's is going to go to $2, all right? It's going to go up, all right? It's just not going to, it has to happen. I wrote my senators and I wrote my representative, I sent them an email, and I said, I want you to ask your buddies across the aisle. Actually, I use the word comrades because I think that's appropriate. I said, I want you to let those comrades across the aisle from you ask them if they're going to double my Social Security check. We're going to double the minimum wage. You're going to double that? Because everything else is going up. All right? You said, what are you talking about? Proportional. Proportional giving. Proportional giving. Brother Dunbar over here, $1,000 a week. That's his paycheck. It's not. Okay, but he said, if it is, somebody's been taking it out before I get it. But let's assume he makes $1,000 a week, all right? Assume he makes $1,000 a week. That's his paycheck, all right? And assume Brother Smart over here makes $500 a week. It's proportional giving because the tithe from his is $100. The tithes from his, $50. You see, that's God's plan. That's God's plan. Can I say this to you? You absolutely cannot beat God's plan when it comes to giving. But I love the fact that the Bible says, I'll bless you if you'll give. He said in Malachi, he said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. The Bible said there'll not be room enough to receive it. That means there'll be enough to splash over on somebody else, okay? If we'll just learn to give God that tithe.
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you, you owe it.
Amen.
You owe it. Now, God's going to get it.
Amen.
One way or the other, he will get it. Now, you don't want to give it through your local church. Well, you can pay it down at the doctor's office. You can pay it down at a vehicle repair shop. Now, God will get it. Now, it's a lot better if you learn to give it to him the way you should, okay? The way you should. Now, I told you I'm not going to preach on tithing, so we're going to go on, all right? We're going to go on. Some of you getting uncomfortable anyway, all right? So we'll just move on a little bit. All right. Now, when you get past the tithe, that's when you get to missions. Because that's when you get to an offering. To an offering. All right. That's when you go past giving what you owe. That's where mission comes in. You see, you don't subtract from your tithe to give to missions. Brother Dunbar over here making that $1,000 a week, writing that tithe check every week for $100 and giving it, and then we have the mission conference, and he said, oh, I guess I need to give to missions, you know. So, all right, and he makes out his check next week, and he's got that envelope there, and he's writing down there and his tithe, he said, $95, and I'm going to give $5 to missions. Now he's robbing God.
Amen. That's right.
And claiming he's giving the missions.
No,
that's not the way it works, all right? When you give, it's above that tithe. You don't subtract from your tithe to give the missions. The tithe is what you owe, but we're talking about giving now because you love the Lord.
Right.
Take your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're talking about going further along down the line and really proving God a little bit, all right? Just proving Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you will. Look at verse 6. Verse 6. Boy, such a marvelous principle. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Giver, all right? Giver, all right? Now, I said the tithe is what you owe, but notice what the Bible said about giving here. This is where it says there in verse 7, every man as he purposeth in his heart. As he purposeth in his heart. Now, that's not the tithe because God's already told us what the tithe is. It's not what I didn't get up this morning and think, okay, now what do I want to give today as a tithe? No. My tithe is what I owe the Lord. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. And not bragging on me, but I just want to tell you the truth. What I pay on my envelope for the tithe, that's not what I make. That's not 10% of what I make. It's not. It's more. And I just do it. I always do that. I always give more. It's because I don't want, you know, if you happen to see my envelope, you'll say, oh, the preacher's making a good salary. I'm paying more than I get, all right? And it's on that tithe spot. You say, why? Well, one thing, I don't want to be a nitpicker.
Amen.
I know some people make out the tithe to the penny.
Yes, sir.
Oh, for crying out loud. Well, to go better than that. But we're to go past that. Every man as he purposes in his heart. Hey, that's what we're talking about for mission giving. That's what we're talking about for faith promise. Are you with me here? It's what you decide, hopefully, after you've spent some time in prayer with God, asking God what He wants you to give. Lord, what do you want me to give? Hey, that's what faith promise giving is all about. And we're going to pass out some of these faith promise cards in just a few minutes. I'm going to ask you to fill it out. But I'm going to be honest with you. And I'll say it then too. This is what you're promising God, not the preacher.
Amen. Yes,
not the preacher. Preacher's never going to come to you looking for it. I'm not going to send Brother Dunbar. Okay, Brother Dunbar, you go check out them people and ask them why they haven't been given that, what they said they'd give. Truth is, he's never going to know. All right? And I'll be honest with you, I don't pay attention to who's giving what on the faith promise. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because you promised God, not me. Hey, if you go back on your promise to him, you need to get with him, not with me. You need to get with God. It's what you're doing. Now, listen, that's what I've been giving like that for years and years and years. And many of you have also. But I tell you, what I did years ago, I started giving. And when I first started Faith Promise, I didn't have much faith. And my mission giving was pretty small. There wasn't much to it. But you know what I found out? The Bible's true. You can trust God. You can trust Him. When He says you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. When He said you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Now, I'm not standing up here preaching to you saying if you'll give a lot, God will make you wealthy. Because that's not what the Bible says. What the Bible says, if you'll sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. But it's not necessarily money. I want to tell you what, have you ever noticed how good it is when you can stay out of the doctor's office? Ever notice what a blessing it is when you don't have to go visit the doctor? Amen. Have you ever noticed how good it is you don't have to go to the emergency room? Amen. Isn't it wonderful that you can drive your car down the road day after day after day and it keeps running? Amen. And you go out there and turn the key. I got one of them now. You just mash the button, all right? And you, if you got the key in your pocket, it'll crank up, you know. Man, it is such a blessing to go out there and hit that button and hear that engine roar into life. And you drive down the road, it's not going, all right? It's a wonderful thing. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Hey, I'm going to tell you, God takes care of you. If you learn to give, He'll give back to you. And it absolutely amazes me what the Lord is able to do for the Christian who will trust Him and give above and beyond that minimum requirement. You sow sparingly, that's the way you'll reap. It's up to you. It's up to you. You see, there's something about giving that proves your love. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse 8. Paul said this, I speak by not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. I'll be honest with you, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You cannot do it. Giving is a proof of your love. Hey, giving is an act of faith. Giving by faith, that means that God... You know, by faith that God means what He says about supplying my need. God means what He says. Hey, it's okay to stretch your faith from time to time. Don't live with it the same all the time. Stretch it a little bit. Stretch it. If you believe God, then believe He can and will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. Pour out a blessing. Oh, listen, I challenge you, till the trumpet sounds, keep on giving. Keep on giving. First, give yourself. First, give yourself. Give yourself. I'll be honest with you. If we'd cut out a Coke or a Dr. Pepper here and there, it's amazing. When I was making 50 cents a week, I sometimes supplemented my income by picking up bottles and selling bottles. And, man, my cousin and I, he'd come over and we'd get on our bikes and we'd scour everywhere and picking up Coke bottles to go redeem them, you know. But with my 50 cent a week money coming in, had 45 cents left when I gave God what I owed Him. But I'll tell you something. That 45 cents financed a lot. I mean, it financed a lot. It was no problem to buy a Coke and a candy bar easy and have money left over. You say, preacher, today, 50 cents. You can't even buy the Coke for 50 cents. I know that, but aren't you glad you're not making 50 cents a week now, huh? Isn't that a good thing? That's a good thing. But you say, what is it? Man, you're lucky today if you can buy a candy bar for a dollar. If you can buy a candy bar for a dollar, you're doing good. And it'll cost you nearly that much to buy a drink. So you got $2 invested in the drink and a candy bar. You realize if you'd cut that out and go a week, you could increase your faith promise by $10 a week and never miss it. Never miss it. And we'd probably be better off if we didn't drink the drink and eat the candy bar. We'd just be better off. You say, preacher, what are you getting at?
This.
It's one thing to proclaim that you have faith, but it's another thing to exercise that faith. It's one thing to claim you love the Lord, but it's another thing to prove it by giving. Another thing to prove it by giving. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You can't do either one if you've never been born again. You know, you can't do either one if you've never been born again. Hey, you need to trust Him as your Savior. If you've never trusted Him, you need to trust Him. You need to trust Him today. But if you trusted Him as your Savior, you've trusted Him with your eternity. And you're going to tell me you can't trust Him with that green stuff? But you're trusting Him with your eternal soul, but you can't give and trust Him with this. Listen, I promise you, God will take care of you if you give. Systematically, faithfully. If you'll put Him first, if you'll put Him first, give yourself to Him first. The rest of it's easy. The rest of it's easy. No problem. No problem. You'll never get mad. If you'll give yourself to God first, you'll never get mad at a preacher preaching on giving. You'll be able to sit there and say, amen, amen, nod your head, nod your head. You won't do this. What is he talking about? You won't do that. You'll give yourself to God. Have you done it? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Listen, I realize today it's been preaching on giving because till the trumpet sounds, I want us to keep on giving. I do. I want us to do that. But first, things need to be right between you and your God. First, you need to be born again. You need to trust Him as your Savior. If you've never done that, you ought to do that today. But if you have been saved, have you ever given yourself to God? Consciously. Hey, listen, those Macedonian believers, it wasn't an accident. They consciously gave themselves to God. Have you done that? Have you done that? If you have, giving tithes and giving offerings is not a problem. But if you haven't, that's what you need to do this morning. You need to give. And we're going to take faith promise offering in a moment. If you've not prayed about it, would you at least pray about it now? Would you at least pray about it now? Heavenly Father, would you help us today as we approach the invitation time? Lord, preached on giving, but first we need to give ourselves to you. God, help us to do it. Help us to realize we can trust you. Lord, if we come and ask, you'll save us. I don't care who we are or what we've done. Doesn't make any difference. You'll save our soul. You can forgive our sin, and you will if we'll just come. But Lord, as a Christian, if we could just get a hold of the Bible truth about giving, oh, what a different life we could have. What a difference there'd be for us. Lord, deal with us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together with us? We sing the invitation this morning. Listen, the altar's open. If you need to be saved, then you come. You come and meet me here, and we'll have somebody take the Bible. Listen, my friend, you need to pray. Lord, what do you want me to do about giving? If you've held back on God, the Bible says you're a thief, you're a robber. You need to get right with Him. What's the need? Would you come this morning as we sing? Come in.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Sing it next verse, would you?
Just as
God bless you. Would you have a seat, please? Ushers, would you come quickly? Let me give you one of these. And if you would pass. If you're here and you're a member of our church, if you're not a church member, hey, we don't expect you to do it. But if you're here and you have a job, would you take a faith promise card? Go ahead, man, pass those out. Let me talk to you about it real quick. One side of it's got a place for your name and address. I don't care if you don't even fill that out. Because that doesn't matter to me. But it's what's on the other side that makes a difference, all right? And it just goes up on the other side to $10. But it's got a blank under that $10, all right? Hey, I quit giving $10 a long time ago, a week. And many of you have, too. Many of you do so much better than that, and that's good. And so there's a place there you can write in a greater amount, all right? And I hope you'll take advantage of it. But if you've never faithfully given the missions, could I just encourage you to try? If you start small, but try. Just promise God, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this, all right? And just fill that out. Like I say, the name and I don't care about it because nobody's ever coming asking you for it. Nope. Nobody is ever going to come ask you for it. Not going to do it. It's between you and God. And you say, well, why do we fill this out? It helps me to plan. Look, I'll be honest with you. I'd like to take both these missionaries on.
Amen.
I really would. Like to take them both on for monthly support. But I don't want to do this. I don't want to tell them we'll support them.
No, sir.
And they get... Brother Looney and his wife get in Indonesia,
right,
counting on our support.
Yep.
Okay? Brother Tarwater and his wife get in the Philippines, counting on our support. And we have to say, all we can do is say, God bless you.
Yeah.
If I tell them that check's going to be coming, I want them to know it'll
Amen.
Be there every
yes,
month.
Sir.
And God's been good to us. We've never... ever going back on that.
Amen.
Everybody we've
yes,
ever
sir.
Said, they've got that check every time it's supposed to be.
Amen.
All right? And so we want to keep doing that. All right? So if you just fill that out, and then we'll take them up. All right? If you want to give, sometimes people, if you put it on this card and you don't put anything else, that means it's going to be every week.
Yeah.
You say, well, I can't do that. Maybe my payment, if it's every 2 weeks, then put biweekly. If it's monthly, then put monthly beside it. So that's the way we'll count it. Thank you, sir. Does everybody understand that? If it's, you know, if it's anything but weekly, make sure you put out there what it is.
Right.
If you want to go ahead and give $5,000 and it's your year, go ahead and put that on there.
Amen.
And you can do that in one shot.
Yes, sir.
That'll be all right. You don't have to worry about it. I mean, whatever, however you want to do it. But.